Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Save big money on all of your outdoor projects at Menards. Create stunning patios and walkways with our huge in-stock selection of durable concrete blocks, ready to take home today. Plus, get free estimates fast with our easy-to-use design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big money on our 16-inch brick face, cobblestone, or lake stone patio blocks on sale now. Plus, check out our flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, amigos, you know what's really easy to do and even easier to forget? Please help me out and hit that like button if you're listening on YouTube. And if you're listening somewhere else, what the hell? Pop in, give me a thumb. Say hello while you're at it. It helps me a ton with the algorithm. And besides, it's real nice to see you there. And now, on to the show. Hey there, friend. Welcome back to Casa de Blood. Hey, being the middle of May, just about halfway to Halloween, tonight we've got an early Halloween story for you, just to tide you over for a bit, you know? No, that doesn't mean you're getting treats, Chester. Not after your unforgettable performance last week. Well, come on in, friend. I think I've got the place aired out well enough by now. Okay, that's better. Hey, check out simplyscarypodcast.com this half Halloween and become a patron. For as little as $7.99 a month, you'll get our entire catalog ad-free and available to download or stream. Hell of a deal. So tonight, we welcome back author Chris Holland Oates. Chris Allen Oates, by way of our friends at Velox Books. Sorry, Chris. In this one, we join teenagers Derek and Jason, causing a little trouble on Devil's Night. Or Mischief Night if you're from the Northeast. Cabbage Night if you're in Vermont. Let me know where you're from and what you call it in the comments. But without further delay, from author Chris Allen Oates, I give you Devil's Night. The glass door swung open, and Jason jumped down the three steps, prize under his arm. He flipped a six-pack of toilet paper up in the air with his right hand. It turned end over end, and Jason made a showy dipping catch with his left hand. Derek was unimpressed.
Why'd you get the expensive brand? We're not wiping our asses with it.
What the hell does the brand matter? Replied Jason, holding the package out in front of him. I didn't even look at the different kinds.
Dude, the brand doesn't matter. We only had 10 bucks and you just spent 6 of it so the trees can what? Feel the soft little kittens between their branches?
Oh, replied Jason. Shit.
I guess we can forget about the spray paint.
He didn't like cutting Jason down, but this wasn't the first time the big goof had spoiled their plans by doing something stupid. Jason stood in front of the convenience store steps, the bag with the toilet paper drooping from one finger at his side.
Sorry, man.
Derek looked at him for a second longer. He shook his head, letting it go. Jason looked pathetic, and besides, it would take a lot to get him down tonight. He lit another smoke on the cherry of his own and gave it to Jason, saying,
Forget it, dude. Let's get going. It's already 11:30.
Over the next 45 minutes, Jason redeemed himself, hitting the perfect technique to get the TP super high up in the trees without breaking. The trick, he demonstrated, was to double up the first 2 feet or so before lobbing the rest of the roll high into the air. "It doesn't hurt," said Jason, watching a long trail of paper flutter from a nearly naked oak branch. "That we're using the good stuff. 3 quilted plies, man. That's good paper." Derek had to laugh. Later, when the last row was spent, pumpkin after pumpkin soared high over the street to explode with a giggle-inducing hollow crunch. Some of the gourds met their end beneath the soles of Derek's steel-toed work boots, his stompers. The funny faces bulged in dismay as he brought his feet down on their hollow heads. Derek stopped in the middle of the street and rested his hands on his knees. He was starting to feel that, just maybe, the smokes were not the best idea he had ever had.
"You crapping out already?"
Jason laughed. He changed his grip on the pumpkin he was holding. It had come from Mr. Ellison's porch. The old man was forever yelling at all the kids to get away from his yard, yet on Halloween he always decorated his house. The large front porch pumpkin, however, had not been carved.
"Watch this one," said Jason, heaving the head-sized gourd overhand.
It struck the sharp edge of the concrete porch steps, releasing a shower of orange pulp that scattered like rain on Ellison's puke-green door. A light came on inside the house. Jason and Derek ran behind the bushes across the street. Derek pulled a single bough aside and took a look. Jason, meanwhile, was fumbling with something in his pockets.
"What are you doing?" asked Derek.
In reply, Jason produced his cell phone and aimed it through the opening in the bush.
"TikTok," he whispered. "I should have thought of this earlier."
Ellison's door opened. A moment later, the man himself was on the porch, honking and sputtering about friggin' kids. Jason had a hand cupped over his mouth. His shoulders hitched up and down, and his face was turning red. Ellison came running into the middle of the street, threadbare slippers slapping against the pavement, bellowing out, calling the police. Jason was so intent on the filtered image in his phone that he didn't notice Ellison turning toward them. Derek snatched the phone out of his hands and the bush closed soundlessly. From the house next door came a shout to,
"Shut the hell up, Ellison!"
Several minutes passed and finally Ellison gave up and went back inside. The moment the puke-green door slammed shut, Derek and Jason crept slowly between the houses behind them and onto the next street over. They paused, looked at each other, and burst out laughing.
"You damned kids,"
Jason croaked in an eerie imitation of the old man. That got them going again. Derek had to rub his pumpkin sludge covered hands off on his jeans just so he could wipe the tears from his eyes. It was 2 o'clock when, covered with tiny pumpkin chunks and bits of toilet paper, they arrived at the end of Laurel and Drive and stood staring up a sloped lawn to the old Johnson place. It was actually the new Reynolds place, but their suburb was small and old enough that everyone still thought of it as the Johnson place. Derek thumped Jason on the back.
"Come on, one more house. One more. We'll call it a night after that."
"Look at that pumpkin," said Jason, pointing.
The jack-o'-lantern wasn't the biggest they had seen that night, but it sat on an elaborate stand of purple tentacles. The porch itself was covered in fake cobwebs, hanging rubber spiders, and various other decorations. Even the idiotic little gnomes in the garden were dressed in costumes. Whoever this Reynolds guy was, he was a total nut for Halloween and had way too much time on his hands.
"Let's get it,"
said Derek, flushed as much with excitement as with their exertions.
"Nah,"
said Jason, his smile faltering.
"I don't think it's a good idea. I heard that guy's an alien."
"What?"
Derek stopped as if Jason had slapped him. This was the dumbest thing he had ever heard. From Jason, that was saying something.
"Are you an idiot? The guy's name is Reynolds, not Lopez."
That's not cool, dude,
said Jason. His expression was almost comic in its reproach.
Don't be racist.
Well, don't be an ass. What are you talking about?
Jason frowned and looked at the house again. Scratching his dirty brown hair, he said,
He's not that kind of alien. He's a real alien.
Derek didn't know what to say. He looked into Jason's eyes and saw he was serious. When he found his voice, he said,
You're not normal, Jason. You can't even make up a good ghost story.
He shook his head.
What do space aliens have to do with Halloween?
Even under the yellow street light, it was easy to see Jason was turning a deep shade of red.
Look, he sputtered. I know what Kathy Masovi told me.
He gestured to a bungalow two houses to the right.
She lives right there, and she told me that house was empty for like 3 years. Then, back in spring, after that weird lightning storm, you know, the one that lasted for like 2 days?
Derek nodded. Jason continued.
Mr. Reynolds was just there. No one saw moving trucks or nothing.
Derek zeroed in on the most important piece of news.
When were you talking to Kathy Masovi?
Jason looked back at the porch, at that weird flickering jack-o'-lantern.
It was George Naylor's party last week. You were there?
Yeah, but I don't remember seeing Kathy there.
Jason laughed.
You were so juiced you weren't seeing much.
Shut up. I'd have noticed if Kathy Masovi was there.
Derek suddenly felt tired. Tired of having to explain everything twice. Tired of overlooking the bigger boy's constant dumb mistakes. All the same, he was curious about anything that had to do with Kathy Masovi. He only shared phys ed with the popular brunette, but that was enough. The thought of her in gym shorts was enough to make him start breathing heavily.
What else did you talk about?
Derek had been trying to get with Kathy for the whole year, and in one night, Jason had said more to her than Derek could manage in an entire semester of calculus. Before Jason answered, Derek added,
Did she say anything about me?
No, man, we talked about Halloween and shit. She said her little sister was doing a lame haunted house thing for her friends, and Kathy was getting all these ideas off the internet. I said I wished there was a real haunted house, and she...
Did you get with her?
The entire night was on the verge of being ruined. If his friend had moved on the girl that he wanted for himself, he didn't know what he'd do. Fight? He couldn't take Jason in a fight. Then, on the heels of that thought, he felt a little sick, and that feeling of being tired came back stronger. This was Jason. There should never be a reason to fight his best friend. But if Jason had made out with Kathy, a low whooping noise from down the street split the stillness of the night, and they both jumped. Strobing blue and red lights flashed across their faces in the front of the Reynolds house. Before they could run for it, the police cruiser had pulled up in front of them.
That conversation isn't over,
said Derek under his breath. Then shut up as a thoroughly unimpressed police officer got out of the car and walked toward them, shining a flashlight right in their faces.
What are you boys doing out so late?
Her tone demanded absolute truth. The truth, however, was not going to get them out of this, at least not the whole truth. Derek cut a quick look at Jason, who returned the look with a quick, almost non-existent nod. He'd keep his mouth shut and Derek would talk them out of trouble, just like always.
We heard someone out here, said Derek.
He gave her his best good student smile.
My friend had his bike stolen last month. We thought maybe the guys had come back for his new one. It sounded like they ran this way.
It's 3 a.m,
said the cop.
It's a school night and you're together. You'll have to do better than that.
We were watching movies, blurted Jason.
Derek stared at him. What the fuck was he doing? He was going to screw them both trying to help, but Derek couldn't say anything now. You'd have to go with Jay's story, or they'd be done.
Movies?
Repeated the officer.
Yeah,
said Jason, warming up.
We've been at it all week. Every year, me and Derek watch all the Friday the 13th movies in a row. We do it every year.
He gulped a little at the end, realizing he was babbling, perhaps. The cop didn't notice, though.
And that took you until 3 in the morning.
She smelled something funny about their story. Derek knew it, but she didn't have anything to base it on yet. Derek became very aware of the pumpkin pulp that was covering the bottom of his boots. He was glad that he was standing on the grass. The cop was still looking at him with the same expression of annoyed expectation. Derek gambled.
We're downloading the new one from the internet. We finished number 12 and got carried away, I guess. Anyway, while we were waiting for it to come, I heard some guys out here, and when we looked out my window,
we saw 3 kids out smashing people's pumpkins and shit, Jason finished.
Don't say shit in front of a policeman, asshole,
snapped Derek, slugging Jason in the arm.
Sorry, D.
Hold on.
The cop had put her flashlight away.
Knock it off.
Her tone was shifting from suspicion to exasperation. She looked over at Jason.
Did you see the kids who were breaking pumpkins?
Not really. Sorry, said Jason. It sounded like there were, what, 3 of them, Derek?
Derek nodded.
Yeah, 3.
Jason went on.
One of them is a girl.
I'm still not sure that it wasn't you two,
the cop said, looking hard at Derek now. Her eyes narrowed, and to his amazement, she smiled. It was a cold, cynical smile.
What number is the Friday the 13th movie where they're on a boat?
Number 8, said Derek.
Jason's choice of a movie to lie about, at least, was bang on. Jason was a freak for the horror movies featuring his namesake, and Derek had indeed sat through most of them several times as well.
Jason Takes Manhattan.
It's the least bloody of the bunch, though, Jason chimed in. We skipped to the good parts in that one. There's only about 20 minutes of good stuff. Like the part where this guy gets his head punched off and it totally looks like a styrofoam dummy head, and...
All right, shut up.
The cop sighed.
Look, I'm not seeing anything right now that shows you've been disturbing the neighborhood.
They started to relax, and she stopped them with a look.
I'm not saying you didn't. You probably did. But it's not worth me trying to prove it.
She lowered her flashlight.
So... This is your one get-out-of-trouble-free card. But you're going to do 2 things.
Looking at Jason, the cop said,
You're going to go straight home without stopping, and I'm not going to see either of you on these streets after midnight again.
Moving her gaze to Derek, she added,
And if you're telling the truth about downloading movies, I'd suggest you erase them all.
She paused, perhaps taking the time of day into consideration, and finished.
Tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, Derek said. I will as soon as I get home, okay?
Fine,
said the cop.
And that's right now, correct?
They nodded. The officer got back in her cruiser. She sat watching them until they started moving. Derek started up Reynolds' driveway, feeling the cop still looking at them. He popped Jason on the arm again. This time, Jason pushed him back. He was playing along, though, and didn't push hard. The cop didn't bother with the siren. Instead, she just gave a single blast on the horn. When they looked back, they saw her behind the wheel shaking a finger at them. They nodded in tandem as if finishing a performance. The act, however, was a success, and the cruiser backed away and rolled up the street.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Derek pulled out the smokes. His hand was trembling a bit. That had been too close. He offered Jason a cigarette. Jason took it and they lit up. Jason stopped where he was on the driveway. He was looking at the decorations again.
Man, this stuff is crazy.
Yeah,
Derek said.
Weird.
He wasn't done talking about Kathy Masovi yet. He tapped Jason on the shoulder. When Jason turned, Derek continued.
Look, did you kiss her or what? Something.
No reply. The moment dragged out long enough for Derek's suspicions to take hold. Jason's lip curled up into a sneer.
Get over it, man. We just talked.
You fucking liar.
He kept his voice low, but only because he was trying very hard not to yell. The anger had welled up from nowhere, but here it was, and he wanted answers.
Why'd you hesitate? You were with her. Admit it.
Fine, said Jason. His tone was cold. I kissed her.
Happy?
She kissed me back, too.
How could you do that to me?
Derek's voice was rising on the verge of becoming a whine. He was afraid he'd start shouting in a minute, which would land them right back in trouble. For the moment, he didn't care. He took a step forward. Jason didn't move.
Look, don't you put any of this on me, Dee. If you're so into her, try talking to her tomorrow. Or maybe, I don't know, ask her out.
His own voice was rising, and Derek looked up at the steel-dark upper windows of Reynolds' house. They'd been in front of this guy's house way too long. If the guy came out, the cop would be the least of their worries. Picking a fight with Jason right now was idiotic.
All right. I'm sorry, man.
He held out a hand to stop Jay from replying.
You're right. I should have manned up by now. Let's forget it, okay?
Jason brightened a bit, and Derek added,
And we both have to keep quiet. We're going to bring this guy running outside any minute.
Jason started as if he had temporarily forgotten that they were in someone else's yard. Looking over his shoulder at the front door, Jason said,
Yeah, let's go.
He started walking toward the little gate. Now that their second crisis was passing behind them, Derek started to think back on the night's activities and had an idea. What they needed to do was end the night on a high. Something to erase the last 20 minutes.
Let's do this house, though, okay? One more for the road, huh?
Jason stopped.
I don't know, man.
He looked at the jack-o'-lantern again.
I don't like the look of this stuff.
Standing and smoking, Derek had a wicked thought. That making Jason wreck that freaky pumpkin would kind of make up for him being an ass with the cop, and maybe a bit of the Kathy Masovi thing, too.
Come on, don't puss out now. We did a dozen pumpkins, and we're going to leave the dumbest-looking one on the block alone?
Last house, said Jason.
It wasn't a question. Derek nodded.
Go get that pumpkin. I'm going to go trash those gnomes.
The cop?
Asked Jason, cocking an eyebrow.
It'll take us 2 seconds. Less if you start now. Go.
Jason went. Derek took a deep breath. It felt for the moment as if the natural order of things had returned to normal. Taking 2 quick steps, Jason mounted the steps. He paused, looking at the banister.
These lights are weird, man. They look like plants with leaves and stuff.
Derek didn't answer. He turned and started walking toward the gnomes. Probably he had only kicked them over and throw their stupid little hats into the bushes or something. He was starting to drag. 3 a.m. was around the corner, and weekend or not, it had been a very long evening. Bending down, he picked up one of the ceramic statues that had been draped with a tiny sheet. With the pointy hat underneath, the effect was one of the world's tiniest clansmen.
This'll serve the Reynolds guy right, thought Derek.
The statue was heavier than it seemed. He started to swing it back, meaning to toss it hard over the low hedge into the road, when Jason made a funny sound behind him, and he turned.
This thing feels weird, man, came Jason's voice.
Derek wanted to yell at him to shut up, but that would have defeated the purpose. A moment later, he started to laugh. Jason was dancing around on the porch with the odd jack-o'-lantern. The weird purple stand seemed to be attached to it. Jason twirled his partner around twice, ripping down some of the thick clots of cobweb material in the process.
Here we go, Derek,
Jason called, the pumpkin held high over his head.
What's this one?
In the next instant, everything changed. Derek thought for a moment that there was some weird light effect that they had missed so far. It looked as if the purple pumpkin stand had come alive somehow. Jason's scream came floating across the yard, and Derek bolted toward the porch. The tentacles convulsed and pulled the pumpkin down on top of Jason's head. The result was almost comical in spite of his horrified shrieks. A light went on inside the house, and Derek skidded to a stop. For a brief moment, Derek's sense of self-preservation warred with his instinct to help his friend. He turned toward the sidewalk. To his alarm, the low picket fence seemed to have grown by at least 2 feet, and the shrubs that separated Reynolds' lawn from the other two houses seemed to have gotten larger as well. The gate was now a brief glimpse of rusted iron through a deep cleft in the hedge. Derek couldn't remember having seen thorns, at least not ones that large, on the bushes when they passed through either. Jason flailed, turning to face Derek. He could see no sign at all of the boy's head through the cutouts in the pumpkin. Even so, the air was still thick with muffled cries of distress. Derek charged across the lawn and up the steps. He seized hold of the jack-o'-lantern. It was repulsive to the touch, smooth and loose like the skin of a diseased frog. The thick, pulpy mouth began working up and down, catching his index finger between its strange orange lips, and Derek felt something like teeth poking to his skin. With an enormous lurch, he pulled his hand free and staggered back. That was the moment the rest of the decorations came to life. A full-size skeleton that hung from the door began to dance. It clicked and clacked as its bony limbs clattered against the door, pushing itself free of the brass hook that held it in place. Tumbling to the ground with a sound like dice in a cup, the skeleton began to clamber to its feet. Derek backed away and felt resistance. Long gossamer strands of cobweb detached from the eaves and began to brush against Derek's back, sides, and head. Where they touched, they stuck and became stiff. Before he knew what was happening, he was held in place, and the skeleton was almost upright now. He clawed at the strands, but they had become as unyielding as steel cable. All was silent. Jason had stopped struggling. Derek looked over and saw that his friend was standing bolt upright. The pumpkin head tipped forward and began to suction walk its way down Jason's body. The boy's head was gone. There was no blood. The lights from the living room window illuminated a shiny pink-white sheet of skin that ran from shoulder to shoulder. A moment later, the body sank to its knees and slammed forward onto the floor. Derek screamed. More strands floated down to silence him, and Derek clapped his hands over his mouth, denying them entry. The slender cords attached to the backs of his hands, stinging with miserable fire. The skeleton had gained its legs and now took a step toward him, arms outstretched. From the deck behind him, Derek heard a new noise. It sounded like rocks scraping on wood. Derek twisted around in time to see tiny hands reaching up over the banister. A miniature pointed witch's hat preceded a maniacal chiseled stone face over the handrail. The garden gnomes, all three of them, were coming to join the party. Derek didn't want to know what they were going to do. In the next moment, the front porch was flooded with light as Mr. Reynolds walked out, taking little shuffling, hopping steps. He was a short, hunched old man, wearing what looked like a bad Ronald Reagan mask. There was something funny about the mask, though. It didn't seem to end at his neckline. The hunched little man tottered closer, studying Derek. Mr. Reynolds smiled, or rather, the rubber mask formed a grotesque approximation of a smile. Derek whimpered, trying to blink away the salty tears streaming from his eyes. With a slow grinding sound that made his skin itch, the garden gnomes swiveled their stone heads to look at their master. Reynolds' eyes flashed with sick purple light, and the gnomes dropped back down over the railing. There were three muffled thuds as they hit the ground. The skeleton's slow, deliberate journey had come to an end at last, and Derek thought he could feel a wave of malevolent joy as its bony fingers settled on his shoulders. Reynolds hop-walked forward and grasped the skeleton by the back of the neck. With an effortless movement of his arm, he backhanded the pile of bones through the open door behind it. Derek struggled, still trying to free himself from the web.
"Oh, dear me," said Mr. Reynolds. His tone was a clicking mechanical sing-song. "Is it Halloween already? I thought it was tomorrow for some reason."
Patting at the rubber mask, he said,
"My disguise is not even ready yet."
Reynolds' gaze fell on the headless corpse that had recently been Jason.
"My goodness, fellows, it seems that my festive spirit has been a trifle aggressive."
Turning back to Derek, he continued,
"Nonetheless, I do wish I'd had one more night to prepare."
He reached down and stroked the pumpkin. The thing's eyes flashed the same sick purple as the man's own had behind the mask. The odd little gourd started purring. Derek wanted to throw up. With another grotesque rubber grin, Reynolds continued,
"There's no accounting, I suppose, for the impetuousness of youth."
Derek listened to the thing's stilted language and cursed himself that he had ever doubted Jason. The man blinked behind his mask, and Derek saw a scaly blue eyelid with a thin opaque membrane that jittered across the surface.
"Still," continued Reynolds, "you boys will want your tricks and treats, I suppose. Don't go anywhere."
He went back into the house with his weird shuffling bobbing gait. Derek thrashed with renewed fervor against the petrified gossamer that held him and managed to get his left hand free. As the strands popped off his flesh, they ripped chunks out of his clothing and scored his skin. The pain from a dozen tiny wounds was excruciating, but he bit his lip against his cries and willed Reynolds to take more time. With a final wrench and twist, Derek fell flat to the floor of the porch, coming face to stump with the headless bulk of his friend. Light washed across his face as the door opened again.
"Dear me,"
the thing said in its inhuman voice,
"you are more precocious than I thought."
Reynolds stood silhouetted against the brightness from within.
"You have certainly earned your tricks and treats."
He was holding a tray in his hands. He shuffle-hopped closer and crouched by Derek.
"The young ones where I come from love these."
He placed the tray on the ground. Derek looked at the platter and made a low grunt of disgust. The things looked like dark green caterpillars with broad stripes of violent pink, and with a single large eye on a stalk that grew straight up from one end. Derek shoved himself to his knees, and from there tried to get to his feet. Reynolds' hand darted forward and caught him.
Stay. I insist. It is only polite.
What are they?
Derek asked, trying to pull away. But the hand was even stronger than the threads had been, and he was forced into a sitting position. The hairs on his neck stood up with horror as he realized that when he had spoken, all the tiny creatures' eyes had swayed on their stalks in his direction. They were listening to him.
These are excellent tricks and treats. The trick is to eat them.
He stroked the back of one of the caterpillars. It reared up off the tray at his touch, and Derek saw that its entire underside was composed of tiny sharp teeth. He popped the one he had been petting into his mouth.
Before they eat you.
The sound of the man-thing chewing behind his mask was too much for Derek. He grabbed at the hand that was holding him and dug in with his fingernails. The middle two fingers came away in his hand, ripped away like tissue paper. Where they had been, a ragged hole in the man's rubbery flesh revealed more lumpy blue scales and the start of a horny purple talon. Derek drew both legs up to his chest and rocked back. Something hard in his back pocket pressed into him. He kicked out hard with both feet and hit Reynolds square in the chest. Surprise was on his side and he was free. Derek jumped to his feet and found that the cobweb tendrils were in motion again, blocking the stairs to the lawn. The jack-o'-lantern prevented him from going over the edge of the railing, and Reynolds was already recovering from the blow. His butt twitched where he had sat down funny. It was the lighter. Shoving his hands into his pocket, Derek came up with the purple Bic and flicked the wheel. It flicked sparks once, twice, and then it was lit. There wasn't any reason to believe that the alien material would be flammable, but it was all Derek had. He touched a tiny flame to the nearest cobweb he could reach. The reaction was immediate. The entire mass went up in seconds, creating a flash of light and flame that was painful to look at. From behind him came an ear-splitting shriek of pain. Mr. Reynolds, it seemed, didn't like fire either. Derek turned and saw the man-thing stagger back into the house, an arm thrown across its eyes. Luck paid Derek one final favor, and the thickest ends of the cobwebs where they were attached to the house took longer to burn, and the flames spread out, flapping at the old wood of the porch. Derek's right foot flared with pain. He looked down and saw one of the carnivorous candy worms attached to his boot. It had worked its way through the leather instep in seconds, and he could feel its myriad teeth against his skin. Not stopping to think, he slammed the thing against the side of the newel post, and the worm burst. Its tiny eye popped free and landed among the rest of the treats, which made quick work of it. Reynolds was screaming what could only be obscenities in its guttural, awful language. The entire porch was in flames, and Derek was standing in shock on the lawn. With a huge, rending crack, the front beam of the porch fell down, burning embers spewing everywhere as it hit the ground. He dashed toward the gate. To his horror, one of the psychotic little gnomes was crawling toward him on its cement belly. Derek screamed and kicked the freakish little thing with all his strength. Its head exploded on contact with the steel-toed boot, sending a small shower of plaster and paint flying across the lawn. The gnome's torso collapsed to the ground and thick red liquid began to pour from its ragged neck. Without looking back, Derek ran down the small path and forced his way through the overgrown hedge. Thorns caught and tore his shirt. He ignored the deep scratches and kept going. He leapt over the small garden gate, but his foot caught the top edge as he sailed over, and he fell down hard on the sidewalk. The world swam out of focus. Behind him on the lawn, Derek could hear movement. Through the haze of his fading consciousness, he remembered that there had been several other gnomes, and that he couldn't assume any of them had been caught up in the blaze on the porch. As if to confirm his fears, he heard a tiny plink as concrete feet reached the pathway. He ran. Pain throbbed in a dozen places on his body. His shoulder still burned from the touch of the cobweb. His calf hurt where that weird caterpillar thing had bitten him, and his skin felt hot and tight all over from being so near the fire. Now his knees and forehead were an agony of scraped and oozing flesh. As he reached the end of the street, his clomping boots weighing 3 pounds each at least, Derek started to slow up. His mind was already beginning to replay the horrors he had witnessed, and he shook his head as if the thoughts were a physical thing clinging to his scalp that he could hope to fling off. The movement made his growing headache worse. He didn't care. If he thought too long about what had happened, he felt he might stop where he was and start screaming at the sky. So he moved and tried to think of nothing. 15 minutes later, Derek found himself standing at the door in the back of his house, the one that led downstairs to the basement and his bedroom. He was startled. The walk home was a blank. He couldn't recall making any turns or even looking at any street names. His feet had brought him to the right place regardless. Derek fumbled his shaking hands into his pockets, meaning to get his keys, open this door, go downstairs and fall asleep. Sleep was what he wanted most of all. He must be in shock. How could he not be? If he could sleep, though, he might stand at least a small chance of making sense of everything in the morning. His hands came up empty. No keys. This final small problem was the one thing too many. Derek turned around, slid down the door, and sat hugging his knees. He began to cry. His shoulders shook with huge gasping sobs as he wept for Jason, for himself, and for having endured something that should not even exist. An unknowable time later, his head came to rest on his knees, and he fell asleep.
Derek, what the hell are you doing out here?
Coming roughly awake, Derek rubbed his swollen eyes. His father was shaking him by the arm. The raw patches on his skin where Reynolds' awful web had stuck to him screamed at the touch, and he jerked back. He looked up into his father's face. Martin Collins' expression was a mixture of anger and concern. For the moment, Derek couldn't remember anything.
What? How did I... Where? That's what I want to know,
said his dad.
Why the hell are you out here?
The night started flooding back, and Derek felt his guts turn hollow again. What could he possibly say? From the look on his face, Martin's patience, then to begin with, was nearing its end.
I lost my keys,
said Derek, starting with the obvious.
All right,
his father replied. His tone was calm. Too calm.
Why didn't you knock?
Derek opened his mouth to speak, but his dad kept going.
Jesus, Derek, we thought you were in bed. The next thing we know, it's 6 a.m. and you're not home. We were worried sick.
I mean, we...
Derek stammered. Where could he possibly begin? Martin's lips drew down at the corners.
We? He repeated. You mean Jason, right?
Yeah,
said Derek.
Get in the house.
His tone had gone dry and authoritative.
Whenever you and that idiot get together, it's trouble. I'm sick of it.
Dad.
Save it. Go to your room. Get some sleep. You're grounded.
Grounded? Dad, you don't understand.
I understand you're about 8 hours past your curfew.
He started walking into the house. The conversation was over. Derek watched him walk into the house, wanting to scream the words that were pounding in time with his pulse. Jason's dead. Jason's dead. Jason's dead. Who could he call for help? How could he begin to explain?
In the house! Now!
Derek didn't sleep.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
If his father had wanted to torture him, Derek thought, this was the way to do it. He was ready to beat his head against the wall to stop the thoughts of the night before from coming back. Grounded meant no TV, no phone calls, and no internet. But Derek had booted up his laptop and gone to the local news site, keeping the volume muted. He needed to see if there would be anything about the fire. More than that, he wanted to see if there would be anything about Jason. He had resigned himself that if he saw the slightest word about the incident, then he would call the police himself. The problem was, what if nothing had happened? But then, where was Jason? After 90 minutes, the headlines of the day had been updated 4 times. And still, there was nothing about the destruction of a suburban house the night before.
If there was no fire, where's Jason? Where was I?
His pulse was throbbing in his temples. At noon, when his mother knocked on the door to bring in a sandwich, Derek had screamed. Screamed. He wondered again if this was what insanity felt like. His mind began to fill the shadow in his room with sick images of the concrete gnomes with their rigid homicidal grins. He opened the shade all the way and turned on all the lights. He played music. He read books. Nothing worked. He checked the computer again. There was one new email. From screamingjj99@gmail.com, Derek clicked on it. His hand was trembling and he closed the window by mistake. He tried again. The message was brief.
D. Was that a crazy night or what? Wicked headache today. Why'd you leave so quick? Talk to you tonight, okay? Got something awesome to show you. Jay.
The blood drained from his face. Derek thought he was going to pass out. If Jason was alive and emailing, what did that say about the rest of the evening? Had they taken drugs at one point? He didn't remember, but if they were strong enough, he just didn't know. There was no way he could call the police now. Martin opened the door. Derek jumped. He rolled his seat back against the wall.
Turn that computer off. You're grounded, said Martin.
There was nothing menacing in his tone. It was an automatic response to the rules being bent. It was such a normal, if unwelcome, thing to say that Derek almost smiled. Instead, he reached over and closed the lid on the laptop.
Your mother and I are going out tonight, his father continued. You'll have to give out the candy.
When no answer came, Martin frowned. He stepped into the room and took a long look at Derek.
Son, I don't know what you were up to last night, but your mother says you seem different today. Edgy.
It was a bad night.
Derek said, trying to keep the panic from his voice.
Are you in trouble?
Asked his father, his gaze sharpening.
Police trouble?
No,
Derek said.
It was late and we saw some stuff that was kind of scary. Like killer garden gnomes, a killer skeleton, and a pumpkin that eats heads. And let's not forget my best friend who may or may not be dead.
Look, said Martin,
I was young once too, and the streets can get a little crazy after midnight. That's one of the reasons you have a curfew.
He looked at Derek for a long moment, seeming to weigh his next words carefully.
Look, give the candy out tonight. We'll talk about being grounded tomorrow, right? You can tell me your story then, too. Deal?
Derek's fevered thoughts jumped back to the first thing his father had said.
Wait, you guys are leaving me alone?
Derek was breathing hard, and his forehead was clammy with sweat.
It's a bunch of kids, Derek.
Martin's moment of sympathy, if that's what it had been, was gone.
Grow up!
Trick or treat!
That night, the rain hadn't let up, but it wasn't storming hard enough to deter the horde of candy-mad children from doing their thing. His parents went out to their party, leaving Derek to answer the constant ringing of the doorbell. He made the trip dozens of times, giving handfuls of junk to each little troll, transformer, and witch. Hopefully, he'd run out of treats and he could shut off the lights soon. There was another knock on the door. Upon answering, Derek was greeted by a 3-foot-tall gray alien, staring up at him with big black eyes and saying,
"Trick or treat!"
Derek almost fainted. The kid, after waiting about 5 seconds, reached into the candy bowl and grabbed a handful of Twix bars before saying thank you and running off into the night. Derek's heart was pounding again. It was too much. After a moment or two of painful silence, when all he could hear was the throbbing of his pulse in his ears, Derek decided to get a little something to help him calm down. He went into the kitchen and took his dad's bottle of vodka from the freezer. Holding the bottle to his lips, he took a long, cold swig. The liquor burned his throat, and he coughed. He almost dropped the bottle before steadying himself. He recapped the booze and put it back. When he got back to the living room, Friday the 13th Part 4 had come back from commercial. Jason was on the hunt again. Several minutes passed in blissful 80s schlock horror mindlessness. Already he was feeling a bit lightheaded. The doorbell rang. Derek got up, deciding this time to make some 12-year-old's night by dumping the entire bowl of fun-sized Mars bars into the kid's pillowcase and be done with it. He opened the door and was too shocked even to scream. The pumpkin that sat atop Jason's shoulder said in Jason's voice,
"Good evening, Derek."
There was a burst of warmth as hot piss ran down Derek's leg. He opened his mouth, but nothing came out but,
What? "Tonight is Halloween, is it not?"
asked Jason. The cadences were Reynolds.
"You can't be here,"
Derek managed.
"You're dead?" asked Jason. "Part of us was destroyed, yes. That was painful and most impolite."
The pulpy face of the pumpkin broadened into a sagging, rotten smile.
"But we are not dead."
Derek's shock faded and he began to weep.
"Why are you doing this to me?" "It should be obvious," said Jason, not Jason. "You know our secrets."
As he spoke, the flannel shirt that Jason had been wearing last night rippled and bulged in various places. There was no telling what was going on under there.
"Please," said Derek. "Please let me go. No one will ever believe me anyway. Just go away!"
He was screaming now. The Jason thing smiled.
"Please? That is not what you must say tonight.
Seizing on that last as a final opportunity to live, Derek cried.
What? What do I need to say? Tell me. I'll say it. I'll do it.
The pumpkin grin spread wider. Jason began to unbutton his shirt. His bare chest beneath was coated with hundreds of the carnivorous worms. Derek started screaming and didn't stop. Terror had driven all rational thought from his mind. His head was filled with bright white fuzz that seemed to press against his face from the inside. All that he had left in the world was his voice and his scream. It was so loud, so consistent, that he failed to hear the Jason thing's final words.
Trick or treat?
And that was Devil's Night by Chris Olinote. A little about the author. Chris Olinote's stories have been frequently featured on the No Sleep and Escape Your Fate podcasts, and in print most recently in the Parallel Prairies horror anthology. He lives in Manitoba with his wife and children. Chris's collection, Gathering Darkness, is available from our friends at Velox Books. Check out the link in the show notes or just head to www.veloxbooks.com where you can find Chris and plenty of other excellent authors you've heard on this show. If you're more of a listener, Gathering Darkness is also available on audible.com. Hey, thanks, Chris. And a special thanks to Velox Books.
And do old Drew Blood a favor, would you? Subscribe to his podcast wherever you do your listening and leave him a 5-star review and a kind word, even if you're listening on YouTube. He needs soldiers on all fronts to win this battle, and he appreciates it. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all the other episodes, visit SimplyScaryPodcast.com today and click Patrons in the upper menu. You'll find yourself at ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to their entire audio archive, all ad-free and available to download or stream. Thank you for your time and for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you support this show. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there, where you'll get all the latest updates and new releases and have the chance to interact with them each and every week. Oh, and you can find Drew Blood on Facebook and Instagram, and sometimes Twitter. The Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast is accepting submissions, friend. If you've got a story or two you'd like to be featured on the show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment, 10 bananas.
Well, I guess this is where we part ways, at least till tomorrow. Come visit me on my other show, The Crimson Hour, every Saturday night at 7 Central on YouTube and all your favorite podcast platforms. So may the wind be at your back. And may the road rise up to meet you. Hit that like button on your way out, would you? So good night, friend. Sleep tight. And don't let them bedbugs bite. They're vicious little predators. And they eat you alive while you're sleeping. Pleasant dreams.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.